she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I have commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman who you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So we see here in this story, as a lot of us know it, and I'm not going to get into the whose fault it was, but we see here that as they were in the garden, and we read here in the part where it says that she saw and she ate. But before that, we see that what had happened in the story was that God created man, as we know, right? Breath of life into the nostrils. And it says that he made a garden, and he placed man in the garden to tend to it, right? And there was instructions as he was placed in the garden. He says, you can eat of anything except of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You may not eat this, right? And he even says, for in that day you shall surely die, right? So there were instructions there. He placed them. There was the instructions. And then it says that God made woman, right? He made the helper suitable for him, and he named her Eve, right? So it says that this was happening in the garden. It's a great story in the presence of God, right? Where we belong. It's in the presence of our Father. And it says that they were there. They were tending. They were with God in His presence. What a great picture that is. And then all of a sudden in chapter 3, the serpent is introduced. Right? And the serpent comes in and he says those famous words, "Did God really say?" Right? The instructions were this, and then he enters in and he says, "Did God really say this?" Right? And then he says later on, he says, "You will not surely die." Right? So he says, did he say? He questions what the word of God was. And then he says, no. Right? He twists it and he says, no, that's not what it says. It says, you're not going to die. Don't worry about it, right? And he starts to listen to these lies and starts to twist the lies. And many of us, I know me, I've listened to lies before or heard somebody twist a lie and it sounds good and we fall for them. Anybody ever fall for a lie? Don't raise your hand. I'll be the only one today. But we hear these lies, we listen to them, the twisting of the truth. And unfortunately, we fall for these things, right? We fall for these lies. We fall for these schemes. And we see, as we know in this story, that they also fell for this, right? The serpent came in, questioning the word, twisting, right? He says, no, you're not going to die. Do not worry about it, right? No. What he said, it's not like that. You can do this. It's going to be all right. And we fall for it. It says that these lies that we're listening to, we fall for it, unfortunately, as I said, but we think of these things here, you should be fine. Anybody hear that phrase before? You should be fine. Things will be okay, right? Or we have enough time. I think that's one of the greatest lies right there. We have enough time. Go ahead and live as you're living. Do as you're doing. Act as you're acting. You have enough time. But we know that the Bible says that tomorrow is not promised to anybody. And all these things that we hear in our life about, we're okay, it's going to be okay, you have plenty of time, do not worry about these things, that's not what God is really saying there. All these things that we fall for and we listen to, and we hear these thoughts and we hear these other people say and tell us these things, And we start to think about it and we say, well, maybe he's right, or maybe it's true, or maybe this, or maybe that. We see the woman that says that she saw, then she took, and then she ate. Right? As he came, as a serpent came and talked to her and said these things, that the eyes went to the fruit. Right? Lust of the eyes. Right? They went to the fruit, and it says that it was desirable. And it says that she took, she saw, she took, and she ate with her husband. And it started a downward spiral. There's a lot of downward spirals that we fall victims of. Right? As I was thinking about this, there's easy ones, right? Without trying to get too serious. But anybody ever been victim of the Netflix vortex? Anybody ever fall for that one? You get sucked in and you start to look, and you know, every once in a while, I'm going to let you in our home. Okay? Just the living room. As far as you go. But every once in a while, you know, me and Lorraine, we decide to watch a show. We're like, hey, let's pick a show. Let's watch a show. Let's find a good one. Right? Because you can't just click on one and you waste your time. You got to find a good one. Right? So you pick one. And then you're watching the show. I've also been guilty, first of all, of searching for a show. And then an hour later, I still haven't found one. Anybody been that one? That's another vortex you go into. Right? I've been guilty. Sorry. I've been guilty of that one. Right? You're searching. Next thing I know, it was all five of us ready to watch a movie. And next thing I look, and they're all gone. Because I haven't picked a movie. Next thing I know, I just put the TV back on, and we all go to bed. But we never watch it. But We watch, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because we watch a show. And shows are famous for cliffhangers. You guys know what that is, right? Cliffhangers. What's going to happen next? When I was a kid, you would watch a show, Batman would get captured, and you would have to tune in next week, same bat time, same bat channel. That's way back, right? And you would have to wait a week before you saw what was going to happen. And now, binge watching. Right? We got that right there. The next one, and the next one, and the next one. And there's a cliffhanger, and then I'll look over at Lorraine and say, like, we gotta watch the next one. What's gonna happen to them? They just got caught. And then you watch the show, and you're like, hey, it's only 40 minutes. Let's just watch it. And then you watch it, and guess what happens at the end? Cliffhanger again. And then you finally get to episode 10 of season 1, the final, and guess what? There's another cliffhanger. And you're like, oh, well, there's 4 seasons. Let's go. Right? Next thing you went to bed at midnight. That's probably early for some of you. And you got to wake up in the morning. But we get sucked into these little downward spirals. Little downward spirals. I use this. This was a nice example. But there's other examples that we get caught up in. And we start to go down this path. And it leads to something dangerous. It leads to something that is not well for us, or it's not going to end well. It says that she saw, then she took, and then she ate with her husband. She didn't eat first, and then gave it. They ate together. Right? We think these things. We think, I will only look. I will only look for a while. I will only look. I will only look. I will only look. And then it gradually goes into, I will take, but I'm not going to eat. I will take, but I'm not going to eat. As long as I don't eat, I'm going to be fine. And we stay in that area and we keep spiraling down. And next thing you know, what are we doing? We're eating. We're partaking of whatever that is. We're involved in it. We're right in the middle of that act, or whatever the case may be. And we get sucked into this spiral, this vortex, as I called it. Right? And it starts off with looking, and maybe just this, maybe just a little of this. And we know the story. This is what happened to them. James 1:14 and 15 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. This path is a dangerous path. Right? We know the story. We know what happens to them. But as we live through these things, as we go in our journey, this path is a dangerous path. And there's warnings, and we hear warnings, and we see the signs, and people tell us. And sometimes we ignore it. Sometimes we say, ah, it's only for a little bit of time. Or I have a lot of time. There's plenty of time ahead. But we see that as we stay in that place, it grows, and we get caught deeper in it. And we get into this place, as the Bible says, that eventually the path of this is death. Right? And may God have mercy on us all. Guilt, shame, and fear came upon them as they broke God's command. It says their eyes, in verse 7, it says their eyes were opened. Right? They realize the wrong. They realize it's like something was unlocked. And they realize, wait a minute, something's not right. Right? It says their eyes were open. Verse 7 says they knew they were naked and they covered themselves. As soon as they realized something's wrong, they went and made their own covering. Right? They went and made their own plan to rescue them. Right? They says they were naked and covered themselves, as opposed to Genesis 2:25, where it says that they were naked and were not ashamed before they ate. Right? So they were naked the whole time, but one, it says there was no shame, but it says once their eyes were opened, they realized something was wrong. And enter in shame, enter in guilt. I was going to say guilt and fear, gear. That's a new one. Enter in gear, guilt, and fear. But enter in all these things. Why? Because of disobedience. We heard a couple weeks ago, Pastor John shared that the miracle of Naaman was in the obedience. If you guys remember, check your notes. 2 pages back. But the miracle was in the obedience to the word. Right? This right here we know is disobedience to the word of God. This is where the fall happened. They disobeyed what the Lord says. I'm going to put you here. You may eat of anything except of this one thing. Right? And just like us, we hear one thing we can't. And we start to say, why not? Or we start to say, well, let me go see why we can't. And we start to get closer and closer and closer. Why? Instead of just saying, no, he said, don't touch that. I'm not going to touch that. But they knew they were naked. They covered themselves. And then we see towards the end of this conversation, before the curse, that the blame game begins. Right? The blame game begins. The man, what does he say? Who does he blame? We're going to just go over this real quick. I know I said we weren't. But the man, he blames the woman, but he also blames God. Right? Because he says, the woman you gave me. Right? So he didn't just say, the woman made me eat. He says, the woman you gave me. Right? And so in turn, God turns to the woman and says, what is this you have done? And she says, the serpent deceived me. Right away, just turning all the attention, all the blame, everything to somebody else. He did it, she did it, they did it, whatever the case may be. It's for this reason, it's for that reason. Bottom line, that neither took responsibility for the actions. Right? Neither took responsibility. And there's a lot of times in our lives where we don't take responsibility. We're supposed to take responsibilities for our actions if we did wrong and say, hey, you know what? I messed up. Right? Makes things a lot better than trying to cover up, asking David. Cover up, sin and release the sin and cover up, and it's only causing problems to yourself, to those next to you, those in your home, whatever the case may be, as opposed to saying, hey, you know what? What I did was wrong. My actions were wrong. What I'm doing is wrong. Taking responsibility for our actions. Lord, forgive me. I've been living this way. Lord, help me to change. Lord, I can't. I want to and I can't. Please help me. Being honest with God. Being honest with the Lord. He knows you're in that condition anyways. He knows where we're at. Let's just be truthful to Him and say, Lord, here's where I am. Here's what I've done. Forgive me and help me to move forward. Help me to move forward. Neither took responsibility. We see in verse 8, as we read, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I don't know what that may have sounded like, but it says that they heard the Lord walking, right? I'm trying to stomp, but I don't know if you guys hear it in the back. Did that get you guys scared a little bit? No? But I can just imagine what that sounded like, right? Now, this was probably something that happened daily. I don't know why I'm still stomping. I'm just going to keep stomping. But this is probably something that happened daily. Daily, right? They're in the presence of the Lord. Everything is fine. But then sin happens, and that changes, and it turns into boom, boom. Maybe there's some rumbling. Whereas before, they're like, He's coming. Yes, He's on His way. He's here, right? And we have two dogs at home, two dogs at home. And every time I get home and nobody else is home, man, they get excited to see me. They jump on me. They're happy. It's like they've never seen me ever in their life, even though I stepped out for like 5 minutes and I came back in. But there's somebody else that comes in that they get happier to see. If me and Lorraine both walk in, they blow right past me. They're like, get out of my way. And then they get excited to see Lorraine. Same thing, jumping. But there's one even greater. When Alyssa walks in, it's like nothing else matters in this house. They are super excited. They run around. They tear stuff up. And it goes crazy. But it's a joy that they have because somebody that they know cares for them walked in. Right? Listen to that. Somebody they know cares for them walked in. They knew they were in good standing with the Lord. They knew they had peace with God. So I can imagine when they walked in, they were like, here we are, right? Here we are, right? Maybe look at what I did. I planted this today. I don't know, right? Here we are. But as soon as something was wrong, that changed. I know I'm in trouble. I know I'm in trouble. It says once again that they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Which is what sin does. Separates us from the presence of God. Right? If we're living a life of sin, we're separated from the presence of God. And that's not where we belong. That's not where we belong. Say, that's not where I belong. Verse 9 says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So when we heard the stomping, right? Now I can only think of how that sounded. That voice. Same thing. Before, that voice was a pleasant voice. It was something good to hear. But now that there's guilt and shame and fear and sin, I don't think that sounded like a pleasing voice. Why not? Because they went and hid. Right? They went and hid. And he said, where are you? His answer, I was afraid, so I hid. Why did he have to hide? Why? It's all these things in our lives that want to separate us from having communion with our Father. It's all these things in our life that want to separate us from the place where we belong. I remember as a kid, my dad would get home late from work, and there was times where I misbehaved a few times, believe it or not. But there was times where I misbehaved, and Mom would say the famous words, "Wait till your dad gets home." Right? Wait till your dad gets home. And my dad, I remember, really didn't do much. But when he did do something, oh boy. Right? But she would say these words, "Wait till your dad gets home." And those days, it's funny, my bedtime was like 7 o'clock. He would get home at 7 and my bedtime was at 7 o'clock. Or if we were somewhere and we were with the cousins or out somewhere and my mom would give me that look and she would say, "Wait till we get home." Right, there's another one. "Wait till we get home." And so on the car ride, all of a sudden I got sleepy. And I would fall asleep. I would fall asleep in the car. And then I'm sleepy, so I just go straight to bed. And there were things I would do. But all these things kept me away from the presence of my parents because there was something wrong. Right? Instead of having dinner with them, I wanted to... I'm not coming home today. I wanted to be away. Why? Because there was something wrong. I had done something wrong. Right? Something was not right. So there's things I did to keep me away from their presence. When things are wrong, when things go wrong, when things are going wrong, we tend to avoid the situation. I talked earlier about taking accountability, but we do these things to avoid the situation. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just going to go this way now. If I go this way, I know they're going to want to talk to me. So I'm going to start walking this way now, from now on. This is my new pattern. And we avoid. We do what we can to avoid these situations. We avoid dealing with these things. And when things are wrong, nod your head if you're like me. We don't want to answer questions. Okay, I see a couple. Thank you guys for humoring me. But we don't want to answer questions. Where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? Why this? When this? What this? When the boys were little, I would go somewhere, go to the store, Home Depot or whatever, and I would tell the boys, "Hey, I'll be back in a while. I'm going to go to the store." And their answer was a perfect answer. Okay. Perfect answer. When, I'm picking on Alyssa today, sorry. When Alyssa came around, said, "Hey, I'm going to the store. What are you going to buy? Who's going with you? What time are you coming home? Right? How far is it?" A lot of questions, Alyssa. It's enough. But it's questions that we don't want to ask, that we don't want to answer. And especially when something's wrong, where are you? Maybe in a relationship. Somebody asks the other person, "Where are we right now?" Right? Makes you uncomfortable, whatever the case may be. But God here is saying, "Where are you?" And He's not saying it with a belt, ready to punish somebody or ready to whip somebody. He's saying, "Where are you?" for a reason. He's saying, "Where are you?" because it's a time that He is bringing this up in our lives so that we can examine our condition. This is a time for us to self-examine. When we take communion, before we take communion, it says examine yourself. Right? Don't take communion in an unworthy manner. So the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. When He says, "Where are you?" it's not meant to scare us, even though there may be fear. It's not meant to punish us. It's not meant to like wait till I find you and you're in trouble, as us parents have made many mistakes in those areas. But it's, "Where are you?" Think about it. Think about it. Hello. What is happening? What is going on? Let's replay this, right? Let's have a visual here of what's going on in our lives right now. It's a bridge back to where we belong, which is His presence, which is through Jesus. It's a bridge back. Come on back. Where are you? Where are you? We know in verse 15, later on, when He curses the serpent, the plan is in motion of redemption already. Right? I will put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. He will crush your head, you will bruise his heel. The plan is already in motion to rescue us. Right? It's already in the works. And like I said, it's a bridge back to get us back to where we belong, which is His presence. And as we know, Satan wants us to stay separated, alone, defeated, and ultimately destroyed. And sin, when it's full grown, leads to death. Right? Where are you? He calls. He wants us, the enemy wants us to stay separated, as I said. There may be people around us, but something's still missing. We still may be alone. There may be a crowd of people that we surround ourselves with, yet we are still alone. Because that may not be the place where we belong. That may not be where God wants us. Where are you? God calls. God is calling us. Where are you? God is calling us. What are you doing? God is calling us. Where are you going? And God is calling us. Who are you? All these questions that we hear, the tugging at our heart. People standing here saying it as you read your word and the word is speaking to you. Whatever the case may be, as the Lord is speaking to you, asking these questions is not to make you feel bad. It's not to put you down. It's not to condemn you. But it's to bring you back. It's all these questions that come up so that we may come to a point and we may realize, I need to get my act straight. I need to get back where I belong. Or if it's our first time, I need to get to that place that the Lord has for me. Where are you is what the Lord is telling us. What are you doing? What we may be doing is not right for us. Where are you going? And like I said, who are you? There's so much deception, so many lies. People questioning, who am I? Maybe I'm this, maybe I'm that. There's questions that the Lord is trying to show us, reveal to us, bring us back to the place where we belong. And it's all to bring us back to a place where we say, I got to fix some things. I got to fix these things in my life. I got to get back to that area. I got to get back to a place where I was doing this. I got to get back to a place where I was in His presence. I got to get back to these points. I got to get back to this. This practice I was doing, whatever the case may be, I got to get back to this. In sports, I have to bring a sports reference, sorry. I just have to. In sports, we hear this a lot, especially in basketball. Let's run it back. Right? Season's over, they didn't win. Next year, somebody signs with the team or he re-signs and he puts on Twitter or whatever, let's run it back. Right? And they're ready to do it again. Let's regroup. And let's run it back. And that I believe that's what the Lord may be telling some of us here today. Let's run it back. Right? Let's run it back. Let's fix these things. Let's get back to the place where we belong. Right? Let's get back to the place where we belong. I got to fix these things. Where are you? I've said this many times, and I'll say it again because this is my story. But I was in a place, I was unloading, loading and unloading trucks. This was my job. And I was in the middle of a trailer one day. If you know the story, don't spoil it for the other person, please. And I was inside the trailer one day. I was in there. I mean, I had these plans before of going to college. And I was going to do this. And I was going to do all these things. Right? I was going to be a great businessman. I saw one day when I was a kid in downtown Los Angeles. I saw people with briefcases and suits. And I saw that. And for some reason, I was like, man, I want to be like that. I don't know why as a kid. And then I ended up in construction. Different story. But I saw that and I was like, man, I want to do that. So I went to college for a little while. And that didn't end well. But I was in this trailer dock and I was loading, unloading. And then one day, and I still wasn't saved, but I believe this was one of the steps where the Lord kind of started pushing me over. I was fighting, but I could feel the hand already, like, turn around. But I was in the middle inside, and I realized what I was doing, and I thought of what I thought I would do. And this question came up. What am I doing? What happened? Almost a moment here of, where are you? What is going on? Right? And I felt right there like something's got to change. Something's got to happen. Where are you? Fast forward, I was at a men's breakfast. I got invited by Pastor John, still not saved, and I heard a message, and it was called Men Not Doing What They're Supposed to Be Doing. And the preacher went up there and he started saying, in the springtime when kings went out to war, and those of you who know the story, you know what happened next to King David. And I realized, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Where are you was the call I heard. Where are you? What are you doing? And I knew I have to give my life to the Lord. And at the end of that men's breakfast, I was up at the altar and I gave my life to the Lord. I heard the Lord call, say, where are you? What are you doing? And the Lord still calls when I do my dumb stuff. He says, hey, I deserve it. But he says, hey, where are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? In our house, you hear the word no a lot. And not because of here. Well, maybe me. But because of the dogs. They're doing stuff and that's all you hear. We said one time, I think those dogs think their name is no. It's no, 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 no. Oh, come here, I love you. No. That's all they hear. No. But God is calling us, where are you? God is calling us, where are you? Where are you going? We got to fix some things. I got to fix some things. Let's run it again. Let's get back to where we belong. And I think of people in the Bible. I think of Elijah when God calls him. After he hears that he's going to die, the death threats. And he runs for his life and he's hiding and he's running. Right? And he hears the Lord call and say, what are you doing here? And he says, oh, they're going to kill me. Sorry, paraphrasing. They're going to kill me. I ran for my life. I'm the only one left. We know the Lord shows them there's 7,000 who haven't knelt that are with you, right? He says, you're not alone in this thing. You may feel you're alone. But the question was, where are you? What are you doing here? And then the Lord tells them, go, return on your way. Get back to where you belong. Go, return on your way. Joshua in chapter 7, when they were defeated in Ai, they thought, those of you who know the story, there's a Joshua people, I know that this happening. But in chapter 7, we know that they lose an Ai because they're sin in the camp. But before that, they thought this is an easy victory. We got this one. We're playing the Clippers today, guys. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Slim. Where are you? What are you doing? But he says they thought this was an easy victory. They said, go spy the land. Go spy the land. They came back. He says, don't send everybody. Right? Just send them. When they went, It says that 36 were killed, and then they all ran, and then fear entered the camp. And it says that their hearts melted like water. Fear entered the camp. And it says, as he heard the news that Joshua fell to the ground, he tore his clothes, and they put dust over themselves. They were in defeat. And it says, Lord, why did you bring us here? We could have stayed on this side of the Jordan, where we thought it was nice already. Why did you make us come here so that we can be defeated here? And now when we turn our backs to the enemies, why did you bring us here? Why did you bring us here? And as he's praying, and as his face is down, and as he's praying these things, it says, the Lord says, get up. And it's exclamation points. It's actually, get up. And that's still probably louder. Get up. Why do you lie on your face? There's sin in the camp, and it needs to get fixed. And it needs to be taken care of. Right? They thought it was an easy victory, and there was defeat that entered in. And the Lord says, get up. It's not where you belong. Go take care of this issue. There's sin in the camp. We need to take care of this thing. And the Lord speaks to us, as I said, and he says these things, fix these things. There's sin in the camp. There's things that need repentance. As God calls us and says, where are you? He calls us and he waits for us as the prodigal's father does. When the son came to his senses, says the father was waiting with open arms. Right? This message is not a message of fear or to put people down. And it's just not just to talk about sin in people's life, but it's to show you that there is a call from the Lord saying, where are you? A call that is trying to reach out and bring us back to a place. To reach out that we may experience the love of God. That we may know that there is a good God. Where are you going? What are you doing? And he speaks. This is what I love, that he speaks at our level. He speaks where we're at. He talks to us where we're at as we need it. Years ago, I used to coach Little League. And one thing I learned, I wasn't always good at it, But one thing I learned that when you would talk to the kids and something wasn't going right in the game or whatever, you never wanted to come and like tower over them, right? And say, come on, you got to hit the ball, come on. And they're like four. I'm like, what? Yeah. What's the matter with you? Hit the ball hard. But I knew, and I would come up to them, and the game wasn't going well, and there were times, I wasn't always hitting the mark, but there were times where I would come up to them, and I would take a knee, right? And I would talk to them, and I would try to look at them in the eye. And I would say, hey, man, you can do it, right? You'll do a better job next time, right? Try to encourage them. Try to help them out, right? And those are some of the little things that I was good at, the few things. But I like that the Lord speaks to us as we need it. Speaks to us at the place we're at. We don't have to get to a certain place and then he speaks to us. He calls us right there where we're at. No matter what our excuses or our reason, only one solution exists, and we know that. That's in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the one solution. As I said, verse 15, the plan was already in motion. Jesus giving him our life or returning to him. Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Through his Spirit we are convicted, we are led back to the Father. Everyone here belongs in the presence of the Lord. everyone in here. There's no one more special than the other, and there's no one here that says, you don't know what I've done. We all belong in His presence. And as long as we are still breathing, it's not too late. As long as we are here, it is not too late. No matter what the excuse is, and some excuses might be good excuses of why something's happening in your life, why you're doing this, or why you're acting like this. But nonetheless, that is not where we belong. We belong in His presence, praising Him, giving Him glory, in communion with Him. Throughout history, God has been showing us His mercy and grace. We just went through Acts chapter 7 where He showed them the history of His mercy and His grace. Knocking at the door. He may be knocking on your door. You might not hear Him knocking, but He knocks on all of our doors saying, where are you? Where are you? This question that He's asking us, where are you, is for our well-being. It's for us to consider where we're at. Consider the place. What am I doing right now? Let's go through the checklist. What I'm doing in my life. Who I'm associating with. Whatever the case may be. But Lord, I can always use more of You. Can we pray? God will show us always, always, always His mercy and His grace. God will always be knocking at our door. God will always call. And I'm not sure in what condition. Maybe you're in a good place, and praise God for that. And help somebody else. Amen? If you say, well, that's not me today, well, praise God, you may know somebody. And let's pray for them. Let's reach out to them. Let's share with them. But if that's you, if that's me, and the Lord is telling us, hey, where are you? We need to fix some things. We need to correct some things. Because ultimately, there's going to be a question that we're going to have to answer. And that question is, what have you done with my son? I gave you Jesus. Here on earth, I gave you Jesus. Here on earth, Jesus died for your sins. Here on earth, Jesus paid the price for you. Here on earth, Jesus redeemed you, paid the price, sacrificed for you. Here on earth, you came in the form of man. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we thank You for that, Jesus. And Father, I just pray You help us to live for You, to call on You, Lord, to seek You, to commune with You, Lord. Lord, we repent of our sins, Lord. Give us the wisdom, Lord, to stay on course, to stay focused on You, Lord. Father, in Your presence is where we belong. In Your presence is where we want to stay. In Your presence is the fullness of joy, Lord. Help us, Lord. May Your presence dwell in our lives. Dwell in our homes, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Father, we return home to You, Lord. Father, we thank You, Jesus, for asking us that question, where are You? For showing us Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy, Lord. May Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.